the taping with Dr. Avery Jackson and Brother Kenneth Copeland, talking about the connection between the soul, the body, the mind, and the spirit, and how those are all intertwined, and how there are certain things that we can do, that we can think, we can be, we can do, in order for the body to line up with the perfect will of God is, and that is to be healed and whole and to be well. Certain things that we need to make sure that we do and we don't do, that we don't do. And it takes discipline. It takes watching over ourselves and our words, our actions. But you know what the Lord showed me about this? This is training to live for 120 years. This is training for us to be able to live strong, healed, whole, and that we have age reversal working on our behalf. Not Benjamin Button, but true age reversal taking place. So I'm going to do a quick overview of some things that we've talked about, and then we'll go on to the next step with this. But in Proverbs 14, verse 30 in the King James, it says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones." Interesting to do a study and to see all those different scriptures that show the positive things that affect the body positively, the negative things that affect the body negatively. And this is one of them. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy. And one translation, we'll read this in just a moment, talking about envy, jealousy, wrath, that is the rottenness of the bones. So we see right here the things that we need to keep clear out of our lives and the things that we need to do. In the Amplified translation, it says, "A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and the health of the body." I believe there's a new place of calmness that you and I can walk in, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what is swirling around us, there is a peace and a calm that we can operate from. The Living Bible says a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. A relaxed attitude, not lazy. We're not lazy. I'm not lazy. But there is a relaxed attitude that I'm developing on the inside. Because I want to live strong. I want to live healed. I want to live whole. And I'm seeing what the Word says about this. In the New Living Translation, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy life. Our quality and the length of life is cut short or extended in relationship to how we handle the stress that surrounds us. And a scripture that just came to me, I want you to turn over there in Mark chapter 4. I want you to see this from Mark chapter 4 because this is a perfect example of what we're talking about. The quality of life and the length of our life is either cut short, hindered, or extended in relationship to how we handle the stress and the pressure that is around us. And in Mark chapter 4, talking about the sower sows the word. And reading through this, let's just start with verse 14. The sower sows the word. "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they've heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." That's good instruction. To prevent ourselves from having the word stolen, we have to make a quality decision every time we come to church. Because it's right after that when the devil tries to steal it. Devil, you're not stealing the word from the people. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves." They're not rooted in the word of God. "And they endure for a time, but afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." All right, in verse 18. "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word," and now here's, you see the word thorns. He's about to describe in verse 19 what these thorns are. Now, it reminds me of the scripture talking about when people talk about God gave Paul the thorn in the flesh. See, it's the same word. And we're about to see exactly what was going on with Paul. It wasn't God afflicting his eyes, it was this right here. These are what the thorns are. The thorns are the cares of this world, the worry, the anxiety, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts. The word lust there is actually a pressure. It is stress on an individual. The pressures of other things. Now, these next two words are extremely important. Entering in. Entering in. That tells me that the cares of the world are out there. The deceitfulness of riches are out there. The pressure or the lust or the stress of things are out there. But it says entering in, they choke the word and the word becomes unfruitful. See, if he left out those two words, it would have a totally different meaning. Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things choke the word and it becomes fruitful. No, those things entering in. And one of the things that I've ministered to people before about this topic is the first thing we have to do is not let it get in. I refuse it. I refuse it. But what happens if it does come in? Well, that's what we're talking about here. If that pressure does come in. You may have come into church today and there are things trying to weigh you down. There are pressures, financial pressures that are out there, maybe physical pressures. Maybe there's some things where jobs are concerned, the assignments. That's why we confess perfect assignments. There's just a myriad of things, family issues. And no matter what it is, we must not allow it to enter in, not allow that stress to enter in. We literally put a shield of faith around us and say, no, that is not coming in. I refuse it. I refuse it. So the quality and the length of our lives are cut short or extended in relationship to whether or not we allow that stress and that pressure to get in. There are stressful and pressurized situations that we face a lot. I face them. You do too. But the key is don't let it in. Don't let it in. Don't let it get in. Because our lives are affected. When you're doing that, what you're really doing is you're drinking poison. You're drinking something that is not good for you and that will cause bad results. So we don't let it in. And he wouldn't have said that. He would not have said that if it were not possible. For the pressure and the stress. I mean, he could have just said, well, that pressure and stress is out there and it's going to get down on the inside. But he's saying to not let it enter in. Those things entering in. So my mind says to me, I don't have to let that enter in. I don't have to receive that. I don't have to accept that. And the more we learn this and the more we apply this, the more it's going to affect our minds. It's going to affect our bodies. It's going to affect the way we think. It's going to affect with long life. Does he satisfy us and show us his salvation? I think about Brother Charles Green over here very much and think about his life. And think about the fact that you are now 90.
In 4 months, I'll be 94.
94. And at the end of this service, I'm going to call you up here because I've got something I need you to do. Will you do that for me at the end of the service? He's 94 years old.
Yes.
And I just, to see a man of God like this, who is still traveling, still preaching, still on fire for God, and the memory he has, it's absolutely amazing. 6 years ago, he and I were preaching in Peru, Lima, Peru, together. And I was so privileged. I mean, we've known each other quite a long time now, but I was with him this first time that we were together preaching. And from the hotel to the church, it was about a 30-minute drive in traffic. And so we had 30 minutes going over and 30 minutes coming back. And on every one of those trips going back and forth, Charles Green sang to me songs. Song after song after song. songs from the 40s, songs from the 50s, Christian songs, and secular songs as well. Well, what I did was he didn't know this, but what I did was I recorded every one of them. You can hear us in the car in Peru, and traffic is pretty wild in Lima, Peru. And you can hear Charles singing. I don't know what song it was, but what I did was when Charles turned 90, I put all that together on a CD. I took a picture of Frank Sinatra and put Charles' head on it. And we listed on that CD all of the songs. There must have been 35, 40 songs that he sang. But you could tell when we were in traffic that he'd be singing a song. He'd be singing a song, and he'd be going along singing that song, "Oh, glory to the Lord." When we were in the middle of traffic, tongues would come out of him. But I'm saying all of this because he is a demonstration to us of what we're talking about right here. Praise God, Brother Charles. Glory to God. And as Brother Copeland has said, with every decade, the beginning of a new decade, there's a new anointing. There's a deeper anointing. I see it in Brother Copeland. There's a deeper anointing on him. Can you tell? Can you tell that there is something different? And it happened. I saw it happen when he turned 80. Well, there's an anointing on Brother Charles. He is into the 90 years of his life anointing. And it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. I was able to be with Jeremy. Terry and I went to Colorado to be with Jeremy and Sarah, the grandkids, last week. And we were there on his 40th birthday. Jeremy turned 40. And when we were praying, we were actually praying over a meal. And Jeremy said, "Would you pray over the meal?" I said, "Sure." And I just started praying over him for the new 40th year anointing in his life. It's rich. It's rich. And if we do the things that the Word tells us, if we follow the instructions that the Word has for us, we can live a life like this. He's still traveling. He's still getting on planes. Spent weeks in Hawaii preaching and going all over the world. Teaches here at the Bible school. The man is busy. We can hardly schedule him. He's so busy. Well, that's the way we should aspire to this. And there are ways we can do that. Well, how do you do that, Pastor George? How do you live a life that is stress-free when the stress is all around us? Well, let me give you the things that we've talked about over these last 8 weeks. Very quickly, we overcome stress by casting all of our care onto the Lord. Say this after me. In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I cast all of my care,
I cast all my care,
all my worries,
all my worries,
all my anxieties,
all my anxieties,
once and for all
over on Him.
So that's one way that you do it. You cast the care. You cast that care. Just like you're casting that mountain into the sea. You speak it out with your words. And every time that care starts to crawl up in you, you just say, "In the name of Jesus, I cast that down. I cast down that care." And believe it. Believe it. So we overcome stress by casting all of our care into the Lord. We talked about this one. We overcome stress by laughing and rejoicing in the Lord. Ha, 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 ha. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Ha, 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 ha. I feel alone right now. Medically, it does something for you on the inside. The Bible would not have said it if it didn't mean it. In the Message translation, a cheerful disposition. You're getting hungry already. A cheerful disposition. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. No grumpy old men in this church today. Cheerful. Cheerful. And the older we get, the more cheerful we become. Amen. We overcome stress through a grateful heart. A grateful heart. We talked a lot about that. Philippians 4:6 in the Passion. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer through each day, offering your faithful request before God with overflowing gratitude. Let's take a moment and just be thankful to the Lord. Father, we're grateful. We're so grateful to be here with each other today. We're so grateful for what you're doing in our families, our lives, our jobs, our nation. Lord, we're grateful to you and thankful. We have an attitude of gratitude, of thanksgiving before you. And we thank you and we honor you. And we know that it does something to us on the inside to always be grateful, always be thankful, not griping, not complaining, but Father, being grateful for who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name. We overcome stress by receiving the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is the principal thing. That's what Proverbs 4:7 says. The wisdom of God is the answer to everything that you need. We could line up here today and everybody could list out the things that are going on in their lives. But the key is the wisdom of God. And He lays up wisdom for the righteous. And what we talked about, we said, stop saying, I don't know what to do, but start saying, I believe I receive. Let's do this right now. I believe,
I receive
the perfect wisdom,
of God.
By faith, I know exactly what to do. There's something that I can't go into detail with you about, but it's something that happened around here just recently. Some things that we were dealing with, some issues that were going on. And it really, we were going, day by day by day by day that we're walking this situation out. And it looked like it was going to go one way. And I just decided I am not taking the care of that. I am not worrying about that. I am not going to lose any sleep over that. He gives me sweet sleep. And so we kept walking and walking and walking through and believing God and using our faith. And at the very, I'll tell you the story, the details of it another time. But at the very last moment, it turned around completely. Oh, man. It turned around completely in our favor. It was in our favor. And I thought, oh, Lord, you are so faithful. You are so faithful to us. You cannot forget the faithfulness of God. And every time stress and pressure tries to come on you, you just have to remind yourself of how faithful He is. How faithful He has been. So He gave us the wisdom. The wisdom. We overcome stress by walking in the peace of God. Be careful for nothing, Philippians 4:6-7. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. One translation says it's an umpire. It's an umpire. It calls the shots. So we have to be led by peace. Decisions that you're making. You need to find the peace of God in the midst of that decision. You need to go with the peace of God. And you know, as we were going through this situation recently, I just kept looking deep down on the inside. Lord, what's your wisdom? Where's the peace? What peace do I get? And boy, when we got the finality of it, the peace of God it was all over me. It was all over me because I saw the faithfulness of the Lord. We talked about overcoming stress by receiving help from the Lord. You are not without help. You're not without help. Psalm 121, 1 and 2. Look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Say, my help comes from the Lord.
My help comes from the Lord.
All right, now turn to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll continue in this next step. We overcome stress by living in the rest. We overcome stress by living in the rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he's also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The same example of unbelief was the children of Israel when they were being disobedient to God. And through unbelief, they were not able to enter into the promised land. So we don't fall into that place of unbelief, but we enter into the rest. Let me read to you the Passion Translation. So we conclude that there is still a full and complete rest waiting for believers to experience. A full and complete rest. As we enter in, okay, for believers to experience, as we enter into God's faith rest life. I like that. Terry shared that with me the other day. Faith rest life. Show me someone who is walking by faith, truly walking by faith, and I'll show you someone that is at rest. They're at rest. As we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works. Just as God celebrates His finished work and rests in them. So then we must give our all and be eager to experience this faith rest life so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. Well, first of all, we enter into the rest by believing God. He keeps talking about the unbelief. Unbelief is connected to unrest. It's connected to agitation. But believing God, there's a rest. There's a rest in believing God no matter at what point in your faith project you are right now. You might be at the very beginning of it and you're believing for something and you're right there at the start of it. There's a rest that you go through that. And the more you rest, I really believe the more you rest in the Lord, the faster the answer is going to come. There are certain things that you and I can do to accelerate the harvest. It's called miracle grow. Miracle grow. And there are things that you can do. Words that you speak. Attitudes that you carry. And entering into the rest is a big one. It's huge. In the Amplified Bible, it says, so then there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. Take a deep breath right now. Whew. Boy, that felt good, didn't it? Just to enter into the rest of God. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I want to present something to you today. Maybe it will challenge you to walk in this that I'm talking about. But I want to present something to you in Matthew chapter 6. I'll read it to you in verse 25 from the King James, then we'll go to the Amplified. Matthew 6 and verse 25. We're talking about overcoming stress by living in the rest. Now notice I said living in the rest. There's a rest that you enter into. Ah, but what about staying in that place? So is the rest of God in your life like a revolving door? You're going in, you're going out. You're going in, you're going out. You're at rest one day and you're frantic the next. Well, let me read this scripture to you. It says, Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Now here's Jesus speaking. He's saying, take no thought for your life. The Amplified Bible makes it even more clear. Therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? He says, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, worried, and you can throw the word in there, stressed out. Stop, he says. But the word perpetually is the one that really really got to me. Stop being perpetually anxious, worried, stressed out, under pressure. So here's the theory that I'm presenting to you today based on this scripture. If it is possible to live in a perpetual state of stress, then it is possible to live in a perpetual state of rest. That's what he's talking about here. Stop being perpetually anxious, worried. This is something that's really developed. It's developed. It takes time, takes effort on your part in the Word, and it takes really staying with it, because the opportunities are always there. They're looking for you. There are opportunities to put you under pressure. They're looking for you. And that there are some people that are perpetually, there are some people that are perpetually worried about everything. Everything. You might be thinking about a particular relative that you have, and they're just full of fear about everything. Everything that's happening, everything that's going on. Fear over the nation, fear over their lives, fear over tomorrow. That's perpetual. That's ongoing. There's no break in that anywhere. And what that does, care, worry, the perpetual anxiousness, that will begin to wear down the resistance to stand on the Word of God. And it will begin to wear down the body. It'll begin to break down the body. Carrying all of that. It'll begin to wear down the mind. And you've got to make a decision that you're not going to live in a perpetual place of the care. You're not designed to carry that. Your mind is not designed to carry the worry and the care and the pressure and the stress. It's not designed to. God has been designed to do that. We cast that over onto Him. We throw that over onto Him. In no place does He tell us to carry that worry and carry that care. I am telling you that there are things that happen and things that go on, and probably things that are happening in your life right now, but you do not have to carry that. And you certainly don't have to live in a perpetual place of that, because I really do believe that there is a place that you and I can live in a perpetual state of rest. A perpetual state of rest. We can rest no matter what's happening. Is that possible? Yeah. It is. It is. It really takes monitoring yourself. Monitoring yourself. Checking your vitals. See what's going on. And I try to do that with myself. I try to watch over myself. I know that sometimes I really have to watch myself when I get physically tired or hungry. I've been out shopping with Pastor Terry, and I've stopped her at times because I know that there is a long, long road ahead. And I'll stop her in the middle of the store and I'll say, "Feed me. You've got to feed me. I cannot go any further. You must feed me now." And so she'll feed me. And then I'm perky and happy and ready to go. I'm ready to find whatever man chair there is to be able to sit down and rest. You know, they don't have magazines there anymore because we all have phones. No more magazines at the man chair. But I watch myself and I monitor myself. And I can tell when I get tired, I start to get agitated. And so those are the times when I have to say, okay, we need to go to the ER. We need to take care of this. And you know what the Lord says to me? He says, keep your mouth shut. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. If you're not going to speak the word, don't say a thing. Don't say a word until you're ready to say something decent. So I'm monitoring myself. But that's why we can rest no matter what is happening around us. It is possible. I like this Passion Translation, to live the faith rest life. The faith rest life. All the time. I was in a conversation some time ago with an individual. And this individual was going through some really serious things in their life. Lots of pressure going on. I was talking to this individual. I said, how are you doing? And I'll put the answer up on the screen. He said, the situation hasn't changed. However, I have. Even though the storm is still raging on the outside, I'm at perfect rest on the inside. The situation hasn't changed. I have. I thought that was huge. That was huge. The situation that was going on around him, it wasn't changing, but he was. He was the one that was changing. He was the one that was taking his stand in faith. He was the one that was believing God. He was the one that was refusing to allow that stress to enter in. The pressure to enter in. You have to say it. You have to declare it, because to take the challenge, the faith, rest, life challenge, it's really going to take some focus on our part. And I have such a desire to do this. I have such a desire for this 120 years that Brother Copeland is talking about. He's really working it. He's working it. I was watching him the other day. We attended a funeral. He was conducting the funeral. And I was just sitting there looking at him. And I was watching the suit, how it looked on him. And he's working out every day. The man is endeavoring to reach out with his faith for that 120 years, whole, healed, well years. And there is no age. There's no age unless you reach the 120 and you say, okay, Lord, do you want to go, happy 121st birthday to you? I mean, if you want to go on, I guess you could. But I really do believe that the more we practice these things, the more effect it's going to have on our bodies, our minds. Our minds are so important to the Lord. My mind is blessed. How about yours? My mind functions perfectly. I believe I have the mind of Christ. I believe that my mind remembers. I remember things quickly. I want to be just like Brother Charles and remember all the things that he remembers. That's amazing. It's amazing to me. And so we have to do that. We have to speak over ourselves. We have to talk to ourselves. The situation hasn't changed. However, I have. I have. And here's an example of that. Turn, you're over there in Matthew. Turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'll give you a prime example of this. In Luke 6, same storm, different results. With one individual, the storm got on the inside, tore the house down. The other individual, storm came, and he didn't even know it was going on. Didn't know it was happening. It says here in verse 46 of Luke 6, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not which I say? Whosoever shall come to me and hear my sayings and does them. Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. Say, I'm a doer of the word. Not a hearer only. Into the word. And laid the foundation. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and does not do the word is like the man without a foundation that built a house upon the earth, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So you have two different houses, same storm, two different houses. One was built on the foundation of the rock of the word of God, rooted in the word. The other was not. And you see what happens, same conditions. Different results. You can have two people facing the same thing, and one person over here is as happy as he can be. What's wrong with him? Look what he's facing. Look at the pressure that's on him. And he's just praising God, thanking the Lord. This guy over here, he's falling to pieces. Doesn't know what to do. Same situation, different results. Different results. And you and I can walk in a place of the rest of God, in that perpetual place of the rest of God. We can go through storms and remain in a perpetual place of rest no matter what is happening around us. You know, what I was thinking about, and musicians, make your way up here. What I was thinking about was the disciples and Jesus being in that storm, and they were all panicked. Don't you care, Master? Don't you care? And rest himself stood up. I never have said that before. Rest himself stood up in the midst of them. And from the inside of him, he said, "Peace, be still." I like the Rick Renner translation from the Greek. The rest of God stood up. He wasn't panicked. He wasn't worried. There's some people in here right now. You've got children, maybe grown children, that you are worried about. Stop it. It's not doing them any good. It's not doing you any good. And enter into the rest. And roll the care of them over onto the Lord. And when you do that, you open the door for the wisdom of God to be able to come in and show you what to do and show you what to say. But some of you have been trying, even you've been panic praying. Panic praying. Panic tongues. It's not doing any good. Because the Lord knows they're out there. And all you have to do is stay in a place of the rest of God and say, "Father, I just lift them before you right now. It is your will, your perfect will. Your perfect will for them to know you, to see you, to experience you." And some people have been beating themselves over the head about the way they've raised their children. "I raised my children wrong. I did the wrong thing." Stop. Stop it. Just receive forgiveness from the Lord and go on. None of us are perfect in ourselves. We've done things. We've said things. We've acted certain ways. And I'm so thankful for the blood that washes us and cleanses us of all iniquity. That shame that tries to come on people. No. Jesus doesn't see you that way. He doesn't see you that way. But to enter into a place of the rest of God, and not carry that worry, not carry that care. That way you are able to function more accurately in faith without all that stuff that you're carrying. I mean, there's a clarity. There are people that face emergency situations, whether it's in an aircraft or the military, emergency, they're right in the middle of it, but they've been trained. There's a training that they go through. There are emergencies that they've gone through and they've rehearsed over and over and over again. And it could look like the whole thing is falling apart. And that, I'll use a pilot for instance. And that pilot, he'll sit there. If he knows his stuff and he knows his God, he will sit there and the Holy Spirit and his training will lead him to do exactly what he needs to do to pull out of the situation that he's in. It does him no good in the cockpit to throw a fit. "We're going to die. We're going to die." That's been said a lot. But rather to let the peace of God rise up on the inside and be able to deal with the situation without all of that stuff blocking you, without all of that stuff clouding your thinking. And practicing not carrying that care and entering into a place of the perpetual rest. And that's what David began to play, because I will bring it on home, Pastor, bring it on home. So I'll read a couple of scriptures that the Apostle Paul, I believe he lived in a perpetual state of rest in spite of the stress that was going around him. And just listen to these three scriptures. Acts 20:24, he said, "But none of these things move me." None of these things move me. In Romans 8:37, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." In all these things, All. He's using some pretty strong words there. And all these things. None of these things move me. Now say it a little bit stronger. None of these things. There you go. In all these things. Say it. We are more than conquerors. Through Him. That loved me. And this third one, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Says, thanks be unto God which always, always causes us. Always. Thanks be unto God, say it.
Thanks be unto God.
Which always causes me to triumph in Christ. I refuse the pressure and stress.
I choose instead
to live in the rest. Come on, give God praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.